brethren, these scriptures of all your decency. Wound you, praise God, to the point here the devil will do just like he did this man in this parable. He'll walk away from it and leave him half dead. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. It's good to be half dead. And I want you to ask, say, why is it good to be half dead? Jesus can do more with a half dead person. Or a half alive person. So what am I trying to say? Praise God. This man fell in, praise God, the hands of this thief. Praise God, that wounded him and stripped him of everything. Left him half dead. Praise God. And the Bible tells us that that religion came along. Said that the priest came. By if you look at the particular term, it says in there that he was on his way down. Amen. Look at what the text says. Praise God, which tells me that downtrodden persons.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Brother came to show out today. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our meal, of course. Thank God for each of you this morning. Now I want to call our attention. I'm not going to delay the time, but I want to call our attention to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 5. Everybody who's not used to your Bible, look in the table of contents. And you'll find it. Amen. Amen. God our Father, we thank you for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. And then grant us the fresh anointing of your Spirit. And then that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Yeah. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. In this 5th chapter of Ephesians, I want to read verse 1 and 2. And 8 through 10 and verse 14. Everybody guys say amen.
Amen.
Anybody still need some time? Come to Sunday school. And it reads, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and is sacrificed to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. verse 14 say, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated. And for a few moments, I will talk about building bridges and not walls. Building bridges and not walls. Let me begin by saying that God wants us to build bridges and, thank you, urges, and not walls, because bridges span the gap so people can cross and unite, but walls shut folk out. And so this morning we're going to talk about building Christian bridges and not separating walls. We'll talk about building holy bridges and spiritual bridges. Now, another word for a bridge in a Christian life is fellowship. Note verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, the word fellowship means to extend the hand to cross bridges, and in the case of the believer, to unite as one in Christ. My brothers and sisters, all of this can take place because of the love of God we have in Christ Jesus. And so in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, we have a golden statement on fellowship. We note Paul tells us in verse 1 and 2 that we are to be imitators of God as dear children by walking together in love and doing good, because Christ has given himself as an offering for our lives, and therefore we are to build bridges and not walls. Because walls only shut folk out and cause division, but bridges span the divide to bring folk together. Now, in our world, there are all kinds of bridges, and most bridges takes us across rivers of waters. Some bridges are found up and down our highways, and they are necessary if our cars are going to travel from one city to the other. Then there are also bridges in our social life. That's why we sometimes spend extra money buying designer clothes, because we want to impress folk. And so in a sense, clothes can be a bridge to help introduce us to those we want to impress. Then money is also a bridge, because if you want a brand new car, we need money to take it out of the showroom. In other words, it takes money to bridge the gap and cause the car to be registered in your name. My brothers and sisters, in every aspect of life, a bridge has to be crossed. But for our purpose this morning, we're going to talk about building Christian bridges and not separating walls. Why? Because Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 and 14 that Christ has broken down the middle wall, the middle walls of race, culture, tradition, and geography that tends to separate and cause prejudice in the body of Christ. In other words, in Christ, God broke down all human barriers and created the church as one body of redeemed sinners in relation to one another and to him. And right now, my brothers and sisters, sin is the only barrier among us. But Christ has washed those of us who are saved in the swelling tide of his precious blood. As the songwriter say, what can wash away all my sins, and what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so because of Christ, we must put away all sinful rubbish that weighs down our lives on this side of the river. In other words, like a marathon runner in a race, we are to strip everything away, everything that entangles or tries to trip us up. Meaning we must put away all things and sin which will separate us from the Savior. Because we've left the old side of the river and now we are on the other side. And that's why the Bible says if anybody is in Christ, they're new creatures. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We've been baptized in water in the name of Jesus to show forth our identification with his death, death, burial, and resurrection. We've been washed in the blood of Lamb for the redemption of sin. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit that makes us spiritually alive and part of the body of Christ, the invisible church. And so now that we are living on the new side, we are to build new bridges for others to cross. Because we are not going to be like others who go over to the other side and then tear the bridge down because they don't want others to follow. We're not going to be patient with those who use vain words and whose lives are lost in darkness. But we're going to prove what is good. We're going to build bridges of love. We're going to build bridges of righteousness. But now a bridge which cannot support the weight of the car going over it, Reverend Coleman, is dangerous.
Right.
And the same way Christians who cannot be counted on to do God's will and live holy lives are also dangerous. And therefore, we need strong bridges in our world. For instance, right now, most of the talk from politicians is about the infrastructure being in bad shape. Our roads and especially our bridges along the arteries of our highways. In other words, our national engineer tells us that America is faced with a grave problem of bridges that's subject to collapse. And so we are concerned about the national highways, but we should be more concerned about the social and religious bridges which have collapsed around us. Because many of our family altar bridges have collapsed and left our children drowning in confusion. But children are not to grow up in a vacuum. They need guidance and direction. And that's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now they may stray, but the training will just keep coming up in times of crisis. And so many of our holy bridges have collapsed because holiness is not real if it's put on just for a show. Holiness is not real if it's put on just for Sunday. Holiness will not hold any weight if people put it on just to pretend to be close to God. My brothers and sisters, this is why so many holy bridges are breaking down, because God doesn't want only our mouths, but he wants our mouths and our hearts. Because just building a bridge by pretending to be holy is like building a house on sand. I tell you, it will not stand. For instance, Jesus tells the story of a man who built a new house and two men who built some houses, and one was wise and the other was unwise. The unwise builder built in a hurry on sand with no foundation. But the wise builder moved the sand and built his house on a solid foundation. Now, Jesus told this story because in Palestine, there is a rainy season once a year, and during the rainy season, rivers and streams of water can appear in unexpected places. And that's what happened to those men, because when the season for rain and storms came, the man who built his house on the sand, he lost everything because his foundation was not built on the rock. But now the other man whose house was built on the rock had nothing to worry about. Why? Because he prepared for hard times while the sun was shining in his life. He was ready for the test. He was also able to endure the rains and the storm because he had, yes, Lord, tied on to a solid foundation. And so let me ask you this morning, what kind of foundation have you been building the bridges of your life on? Have you been trying to build bridges on your good looks and charisma? Have you been trying to build bridges by climbing the social ladder? Have you been trying to build bridges to get what is not yours and to control what you do not own? Well, my brothers and sisters, let me say to us that this morning that any bridge that we build that someone else cannot cross after us will surely leave us stranded. Because in this world, we cannot go anywhere worthwhile by ourselves. And if we do get anywhere worthwhile, we should try to take others with us. But now, Now we know also that in the world substitute bridges will not do, because there is no substitute for the church of Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for the grace to save a sin-sick soul. There is no substitute for being washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb. There is no substitute for being saved and sanctified. There is no substitute for a man named Jesus, because he is the Son of God. He is the Son of David. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the brightness of Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no substitute for Jesus, because nobody can do you like Jesus. Money can't do you like Jesus. Oh, yes, we do need money to pay our bills and live in this world. We need money to give us a sense of accomplishments and a sense of personal growth. But having said that, however, we need something more than money, because money cannot buy love. Money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot buy dreams. Money cannot buy a relationship with the Lord. Yeah, we are grateful for silver and gold, but the name of Jesus is more precious than silver or gold. Social friends cannot do us like Jesus, because friends say they will stick with you through thick and thin, but when it get thick, many times they are thin out. Ask the prodigal son. He'll tell you that so-called friends will turn their backs on you when your money is funny and your change is strange. And when the party's over, you might find yourself in the pig pen of life. Because many times, as the secular songwriter Bobby Womack says, he said, nobody wants you when you're down and out. Don't y'all act like y'all don't know that. But there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. That promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And so verse 11 says we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, because the kingdom of this world cannot do us like Jesus. What good is it to have a brand new house without Jesus? What good is it to have a brand new car without Jesus? What good to have money piled up in the bank and perhaps somebody, when you die, somebody else gonna waste it and spend it? What good is there if everyone knows your name? I tell you, our names mean nothing, but there is a name that is above every name. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. For there is none other name under the heavens given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I believe this is what Jesus had in mind when he looked out on the world in Matthew 9:37, and he declared the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Meaning Jesus was aware that all of life's bridges may seem to get us over, but a collapse is coming, and we are going to get stranded and unable to get back home. Yes, yes. And so we need a sure foundation. We need a solid rock to anchor our lives. We need one who said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brothers and sisters, we need to build some new bridges on Christ, because he is a great friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a wonderful Savior. And so perhaps behalf, we need to build bridges of revival, because there is no use talking about saving the world when our fire has gone out. There's no use talking about saving the world if you've lost your inner joy and conviction of faith. There's no reason talking about saving the world if you are slow and apathetic about Jesus. I tell you, as Christian brothers and sisters, we need a revival, because we need to realize that we are somebody. We are first class people. We are holy and the elect of God. We have in our lives the mystery of the ages. That's why our prayer should be, Lord, if my life has lost its power, please revive me. If we're afraid to witness our faith, Lord, please revive us. If we're afraid to tithe and sacrifice, Lord, please revive us. I tell you, we need a revival. But then, too, we should be building bridges of holiness. Now, some folk back up when you say holiness, because they don't really know what holiness means. Well, holiness simply living consecrated to God's service by doing His will. Personal holiness is a work of gradual development by not being conformed or following after patterns of the world, but by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember now, being in Christ, we are now new creations. The old things have passed away, and now all things have become new. And so if we have been revived, we will live holy lives. If we have been revived, we will live consecrated lives. We will be God-fearing men and women, and come what may, we'll pray and just wait on the Lord. As we claim our victory, we'll lift up our bow down heads. And so God wants us to live some holy lives, because when we're living holy lives, I tell you, God will fight our battles. When we are holy, we can look at the darkness and say, like the songwriter, there's a bright side somewhere. When we are holy, we can stand still and study ourselves. When we are holy, we know that everything will be all right. Why is this? Because as God's people, we should be building bridges of faith. Because in times like these, there is a need for greater faith in the Lord. For we are living in a time when many good people don't even have a job. Many are unable to pay their bills, causing some to wonder, to whom can they turn? Even nature seems to be telling us something, because floods and earthquakes are happening more and more. New diseases have started to affect people that the doctors can't find a cure. All around us, we see many conditions that are beyond human control. We need more faith in God, who said, I will supply your needs according to my riches and glory. We need more faith in God. And so the great need for us is to continue to build bridges of faith that brings us together, and not walls that drives us apart. Because faith can still work miracles. Faith can turn your midnights in the days. Faith can still put food on your table and clothes on your back. Faith can still pray our children through the deep waters and keep the bond of love in our home. faker still fill the believer's soul with the Holy Spirit and give us joy, unspeakable joy, because faith says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story. This is my song. I'm just praising the Lord all the day long. And so as I try to move to the close, my allies and Christian friends, let us accept the challenge to wake up and walk by faith. Because the devil loves to do his work while Christians are asleep. He loves to break up homes and destroy young people's lives while Christians are asleep. He loves to sow tares in the wheat fields of life and put stumbling block in our pathways while Christians are asleep. He loved to build up walls of self-righteousness and put out the candles of humility and love while Christians are asleep. He loved to make the careless and unconcerned feel that there is peace when there is no peace. He loved to make the best of us want to curse God and die. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to build bridges of understanding. He doesn't want us to be prayerful, watchful, and always on duty for the Lord. He doesn't want us to take care of our bodies by giving up those things that will destroy us. The devil doesn't want us to march together in Christian love, but he wants us to keep building walls of separation that keeps us fighting against one another. Why? Because the devil want to keep us away from God's power. Because the devil knows that where there's unity, there is strength. And so we need to wake up and put the devil on the run, because greater is he that is in me than he that is into the world. And so the hour has come for us to rise and shine and give God the glory. And we can do it because the Lord has already built for us the bridge that we could not build for ourselves. Meaning Jesus has already built for us a bridge out of sin into salvation. He's already built for us a bridge that leads us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He's already built the bridge out of the world into the kingdom of God. He's already built a bridge for us. If only we would hear what he said. He said, a year of jubilee hath come. Now the lame can walk, the dumb can talk, the blind can see, all because Jesus has brought us up and out of the miry clay. So now we can be free and we can serve him right now. We can shout victory right now, because we are not dealing just to be seen, but we are dealing and serving because our souls have been set free. So in closing, as children of God, we must keep building bridges so that others can cross over. But how do we know that these bridges will stand? We know because God himself has built the main bridge. And whatever God builds, I tell you, nothing in earth, visible or invisible, no devil or demon or hell cannot destroy. That's why Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, I sit on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Ain't God all right? Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? Yes, he will.